well-met adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Mage Productions. Today, I am by myself. Joe is not with me. It is just me. So, I thought, not really, I didn't think this was requested, to do another DM-GM prep episode. So, I think this is actually a pretty good time to do it within my campaign, other than the fact that I have a game tomorrow and I need to prep for it, and I haven't done that yet. So, yeah. But I did one of these a while ago, and it was a lot of fun, and it was around the start of the campaign. And now we've kind of come to a junction point within the game. But I'll get to that in a minute. So first, why don't we kind of go over the campaign as it started and where we are now. So I have four players at my table. Their characters are Erevis, Sai, and Lilith Tor. They are all siblings. They are Shatterkai. They come from the realm of the Raven Queen, which I can't think of what that's called right now. But that's fine. And yeah, they're all siblings. So once upon a time, Lilith's mom had relations with a leather worker, and Lilith was conceived, to which her mom then made a deal with the Raven Queen to teleport, I guess, Lilith to another realm. Now, Erevis and Sai didn't know anything about their sister. So when they showed up within our homebrew world, they met for the first time, which was pretty neat. A little bit of backstory on Erevis. He ended up dying at some point, to which Sai made a deal with the Raven Queen to bring him back. And Sai got his warlock powers through her. She is his patron, and Erevis kind of made a deal, I guess for his soul, more or less, to kind of be her errand boy. So he is currently on a mission within our homebrew realm to find particular artifacts and such that may be of interest to her. And Sai is along for the ride because he wants to keep an eye out for his older brother. And they met up with Lilith once they came, and Lilith kind of found out more about where she came from and who she is. So she was real gung-ho about that and joined them on their adventures. They then came upon a Yonti, whatever, however you say it, named Hesutali, who was on the run from his group as he had done some unbidding stuff, and he's just really trying to hide out. So he joined up with them and went along for their adventures. So along the way, they were proposed by two different factions. So one is called the Resistance, and the other is called the Revenant. Now, the Revenant's goal is to find all of the magic casters in the world and register them and distribute them equally across the lands in hopes to prevent war and in grant equality for all of the nations. Almost Dragon Age-esque, maybe could have been taken from that. Who knows? I don't know. And then the Resistance is kind of the polar to that, where they believe that everybody has a say in who they are, where they live, and if they should be branded as a magic user or not. And they're kind of going against the Revenant and all that they stand for. So our trusty group of adventurers joined up with the Resistance to try and hinder all the things that the Revenant was doing, to which they found out that the Queen, who's kind of the head honcho of the Revenant, is actually after a very special artifact that is kept deep within a very particular tomb. And of course, Aravis found out about this, and he's like, yeah, I can go do this thing. I can grab it for the Raven Queen. I could bring it back to her. She'll be happy. Maybe my contract will be fulfilled, and that'll be great. But they had to figure out where it was first. So they went to go meet with the queen. And on their way there, they came up to the city gates and found everything kind of in turmoil. A Death Knight had appeared and was just wreaking havoc on the city and everything around it, just destroying all of it. And then he came up to the group and kind of brought them to hell to meet with his supervisor, who is Zeriel, who is currently trying to find the same artifact that the Revenant was looking for, and hopes to kind of give her leverage within the blood war that is currently raging within the Hells. So Zeriel makes the deal with them and then ushers them to the tomb, to which many a sessions we ran through a bit of Tomb of the Mad Mage. And we ran through about 10 or 12 levels of that before the group was kind of like, we're done with the grinding. So we left. Well, I had them go to the final level and kind of meet with the, I can't think of his name, the guy who runs that, the Mad Mage, to which they gathered the artifacts that they could find, at least, and then they found this very special ship, and they hit a bunch of buttons within the ship, and now they found themselves in the middle of a forest. So this forest, they get out of their ship, and they're quickly attacked by a bunch of ambush drake. Now this forest is very rainforest-like, and that's really where we left off. And I feel like throughout the sessions, we kind of lost a bit of the story and of the goals while grinding through Tomb of the Mad Mage, which is a great module. And it was really a lot of fun. But I think for what it is that we were playing and what my players were really looking for, it wasn't quite up to par with what it was that they wanted to get out of this game. So we thought it best to just finish up with that, get out of there, and get back to our original story. So they have all these artifacts that they found, and now they're not exactly sure what to do with them or where to go. So Aravis really wants to go back to the Raven Queen to bring these back to her and kind of fulfill his contract with her. Lilith would also like to go meet with the Raven Queen and meet her mom, who she never actually got to meet. And Sai, of course, wants to protect his family, while Hesutali just wants to get out of anywhere that is close to where he is wanted. So yeah. And now, with all of that kind of background laid out, I'm debating on how to progress with the campaign. So I want to give them each an opportunity to really shine their backstories and bring those into play. And where we are within this forest works well with Hesutali's backstory with the Yontai, whatever. And Lilith's also, who she is a druid that grew up in these rainforests. And kind of, if I can play between those two backstories, I think that would be a lot of fun, at least for them, for those players. So what I'm thinking of is we have a, they need to meet up with somebody. They need to have some sort of interaction with the outside world and with what's currently going on and kind of get an update, because they've been in this tomb for ever. So they need to know what's happening in this world. And I think something that would be fun, because we're in the rainforest and we're kind of in this tight environment, I think doing something like orcs would be really cool. That maybe not our, I'm going to grind up your bones and make bread but more of a hospitality, because the Tor family is maybe not our part of our main races. They're not high elves. They're not humans. They're not whatever. And I mean, orcs don't have to be evil. They can be hospitable, right? Sure. So I'm thinking they're currently surrounded by all these guard drakes, and there's just so many of them. And I think having the guard, not guard drakes, ambush drakes, having these drakes be associated with or part of something along those lines with these orcs, I think would be really cool. And having them meet up with them and having maybe a single orc that is a liaison for the tribe, because none of these characters actually speak orcish. So that could be a fun way to really play into that and get that feel of their visitors here. And these orcs have their own agenda and they're doing this own thing, which could be maybe they're finding the druids, or they've got some beef with the Yonti, or maybe both, or they're associated with one or the other. I think it would be more fun to have a pleasant bond with the Yonti from the orcs' position and have some sort of clash with these druids, because Lilith is fond of the druids and then Hesutali is kind of against the Yonti. So we have that conflict there. And then with these hospitable orcs that they're kind of in the middle of this encampment, what do you do in that situation? How do you get out of that situation? I think could be a lot of fun to really play into that. So making this establishment of orcs, we have, like, there's so many of these different. We have the orc chieftains from, like, the monster manual. And then, so Volo's Guide to Monsters really brought a new light to orcs. They have a whole section within it. So we have, like, the gods of the orcs. We have life in the tribe. What else is there? There's orc culture and beliefs, role-playing orcs, names, and layers. So using stuff like this within life of the tribe, it goes into kind of their society and how they work and their mannerisms between each other and their, I mean, their whole mentality. And it can definitely goes into how they are fighters. It goes into all their different strengths and weaknesses and how they're really brought up. With the tips of role-playing an orc, I think it's really cool to give it that, bring it more to light than just an NPC or just a monster stat block. Like, we can actually create a character for these. It gives personality traits and ideals, bonds, flaws, everything, just like you do with creating a character. And the name generator is really cool, because we have the names and then kind of their title. So I think rolling with kind of looking through the names we have right now, they have Lotar Skullcleaver, which sounds pretty great. Doomhammer Elf Butcher. Ugh. Death Spear the Brutal. Bum bum bum. Iron Tusk. Oh, I like Iron Tusk. It'll be the Iron Tusk Tribe. I'm gonna write that down. So we have the Iron Tusk Tribe, and kind of their liaison can be Lotar. And then we can kind of pick and choose other names that go throughout that. But because they don't necessarily have, how do I want to put it? Because they don't speak orcish, they may not interact with this tribe for very long. They may not stay here, or kind of finding out a little more about what's going on with the world and how I want to handle that. Also with their layers that they have, I mean, there's a map right here that has their war hearth and then all the different encampments with the warrior camping and then the throne rooms and food storages, fire pits, I mean, everything. It's all right here and it's all already mapped out. And that's super handy. Really, I love these additional books that they've come out with. So we'll use that. And then they have different followers, trophies, stuff like that. All right. So we have our orc tribe. Now, what's happening in the world right now? So within their timeline, it's been, I want to say they've probably been in the tomb for at least a few weeks now, if not a month. And as the world was having it, the resistance was coming in close with the Revenant. But as our party went to go meet with the Queen, Zariel kind of went topside with her troops to try to find this, whatever it was that the Revenant had found. So how far has the first layer of hell infiltrated this world? Is it, they've completely decimated the capital. They've destroyed the Revenant as we know it. Or is it just a little smaller than that? Maybe they haven't quite gotten that far. They came, they found the players. The players went back down to go meet with Zariel. And then from there, maybe that was it. Maybe a few lingered and we have some cults going around that are kind of finding some more followers that, you know, imploring people to join or to sell their souls or to do something along those lines to kind of tip the favor for the devils for the blood war. Maybe. So, I mean, it could really go either way. And I think that's probably something that I'll keep in my notes for one extreme or the other. And depending on how the players react to their situation within the Iron Tusk tribe's encampment, maybe that will determine how far the devils have gone within the world so far. Something that I really like to do is give the players an opportunity to kind of talk with NPCs, to interact with them in order to find out what it is that they're interested in and what it is that they want to get out of the story. So they tend to ask very pointed questions of things like, how can I get to the Raven Queen? Or how can I get to, where am I? How can I get back to the capital? Because I have to meet with so-and-so or something like that, which really gives a good indication of where they want to go next. And the more I can get them talking in game or role playing as their characters and them asking questions or NPCs asking questions from them, you can really develop your story a lot that way. And I like to do that because it gives more focus to them and how to integrate what it is that they want to get out of the story into this hierarchy of story that I've created. And while I don't really know of how I want to end this campaign, I set it up very loose as to play to the player's strengths and what it is that they wanted to do. And something that they were really looking forward to was exploring. Now, with these areas like the tomb and with hell and where the Raven Queen is, which I could probably look up and find out what the name of that is, but, you know, I'll get to that later. Exploring all these places is something that they wanted to do. And in kind of pushing the story more on them, they're able to kind of dictate where they want to go or what it is that they want to do and how they want to interact with this world, which is a very hands-off approach from my end. And at this point, I'm much more of a facilitator of their story as opposed to an actual game master and kind of pushing the story onto them. I have created this environment for them to go in, and we've gone pretty much straight sandbox at this point. We have all these different threads of things that are going on within this world. We're 100 years out from magic finally returning, so it's still really fresh, and it's still something new and something that not a lot of people in this world are used to or may not have even seen yet. Like, maybe these orcs, their chieftain is a shaman of some sort because he happens to be attuned to magic in some way, so these other orcs have decided to follow him because strength in numbers, strength in magic, strength in fighting, all that kind of jazz. It's all about survival, right?
Sure.
All right. So, goal for the story, at least for the next session, is the players are going to encounter these orcs. Now, if that's they're going to run away from these ambush drakes, or if they're going to stand and fight them, or whatever that may be, after the fact, there will be orcs to which they can then kind of have a moment to breathe, because it's kind of been a lot for them over these past few weeks, in-game weeks. And they can have a moment to breathe because it's kind of been a while for them to really have some downtime and really just chill. So yeah, they can do that. They can work with, what's his name? Lothar. They can work with Lothar, find out more about what's happening within this world, get the threads for the druids and get the threads for the Yonti. And so they can decide to go one way or the other, or they can go for the Raven Queen if they want to do that. Now, because they've made this deal with Zariel, I definitely want to play that up too. On Zariel wants her goods. Like, I mean, Erevis made this deal with a devil, and he promised to bring back artifacts for her. Now, it was never specified of what it was that she was looking for. She was looking for the same artifact that the Revenant was looking for. And the Revenant never specified what it was that they wanted to get. So really the players just kind of gathered everything that they could out of the tomb and just made a run for it and bolted out of there as quick as they could. So they don't really know what they have. They don't know what its value is, and they have some really neat stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see what they determine is what this item is, or what they decide to do with these array of items that they have gathered throughout the tomb. And what strikes them as important, which I think this tribe will be another good place for, of kind of going through their inventory, finding out what they actually have, what they don't have, and what it is that's important to them, and what they think may be important to the Revenant and also to Zariel. And then I want to play up Zariel and the devil's coming to find them. So I think having them kind of port in and out of the area would be neat. Maybe if that's indirectly with sightings from orc scouts, or they find like little imps running around or something like that. I think that'd be a lot of fun and kind of remind them that you guys made this deal and Zariel brought you to the tomb in order to get these items for her. And now it's on you to either bring them to her or bring them to the Raven Queen, and which one comes first. So, yeah, I'm not sure if this is helpful for anyone or if it's really that interesting to you, but it's something that I needed to do and I needed to come up with, especially before tomorrow's game, which at this point will have been last week's game. So if you have any questions or if you're interested in running your own games, you don't know how and you want some input or advice, I mean, you can ask me if you want. You can contact us through our webpage, which we give you all the details in just a minute when you finish the episode. But yeah, Oh boy. Let's make a story, guys. Let's do it together. It's fun.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.